While we remain standing, it is my privilege to offer a scripture reading for our sermon today. Scripture reading will be found in Luke chapter 1. I'll be reading verses 46 through 56. This is the living and active word of the Lord. Let us receive it. And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is upon generation unto generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever." And Mary stayed with her, Elizabeth, about 3 months and then returned to her home. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that you give ear to our prayers, but also give us ears to hear your word. As we hear your word, may our lives be shaped and changed so that we are those who praise you with our inhalation and exhalation, with our deeds, with our very lives. We pray all of this in the matchless name of Jesus, the Word made flesh, and all of God's children said.
Amen.
You may be seated. Well, it is my privilege to offer one more message, and this on the third Sunday of Advent, related to last week. Last week, we looked at a passage which was right in the middle of a story of the Lord's wondrous works. The Lord wondrously granted children to two barren women, Elizabeth, barren due to old age, and Mary, barren in a sense due to virginity. Neither one expected children. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, Mary traveled to see her. Mary will stay with Elizabeth for 3 months, and during that time, she will break out into song. We also noted last week that the biblical witness of our Lord's wondrous deeds are often accompanied by song. It's found throughout the Bible. It's found in our passage today. And last week, we stopped right at the beginning of Mary's song. Today, we will continue with Mary's song, often called the Magnificat. Today, we will refer to this as Mary's praise. Mary's praise. Now, today, I'm going to try to avoid the parsing and the slicing and dicing and dissection of this song. I want to avoid taking a beautiful rose and plucking the petals off and examining each little petal, for fear of removing the beauty of the whole and getting so granular that the glory might depart. So today, succinctly, I'd like to set the table. Precisely, we'll look at two things. We will look at Mary's praise, and then hopefully, with the Spirit's help, we will learn from Mary's praise. So, Mary's heart, her mouth overflow with a good theme. And this song, this praise comes forth. What do we see when we look at Mary's praise? Well, first of all, we see that Mary's praise is about another. Mary's praise is about another. Now, admittedly, in the beginning of the song, Mary does refer to herself repeatedly. Take a look, verse 46. Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior." At the end of verse 49, "For the mighty one has done great things for me." But before that, she said, "Behold, from this time forth, all generations will count me," or call me, "blessed." 5 times Mary refers to herself. Yet Mary's praise is about another, because there is a difference between referring to oneself because that oneself is involved and referring to oneself as if he or she is the main event, the center stage, top billing, center of all the lights. Mary does not refer to herself as one who is always clamoring for the light. Mary views herself in the light of the Lord. Mary's praise is about another. The only light shining on Mary is the light of the Lord. Take a look, verse 46. Mary said, "My soul," what's it doing? "Exalts the Lord. And my spirit," does what? "Rejoices in God, my Savior." What's with me, Mary would say, is because of the Lord. So if there is something about Mary, it's that her song is not about Mary. Mary does not promote Mary. Mary does not praise Mary. Mary's testimony is a testimony of the Lord. If you were to come alongside of Mary and bump into her, if you were to jostle her, what would come out would be the Lord. So the very first point as we look at Mary's praise is this. Mary, she praises another. But what's next? Mary's praise is also about the Lord's activity. Mary's praise is about the Lord's activity. Mary's exaltation concerns the activity of the Lord. The lines of her song, the mouthing of her music, is not filled with references to everything she has done, her actions, her achievements, her accomplishments. Listen once again. Verse 50. "And his mercy is upon generation after generation." Verse 51. "He has done mighty deeds." Verse 51 again. "He has scattered." Verse 52. "He has brought down rulers from their thrones." Again in verse 52. "He has exalted those who were humble." In verse 53. "He has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent away the rich empty-handed." Verse 54. "He has given help." This is something of a chronicle of the Lord's activities. Mary breathes the biblical record. I'm reminded of Psalm 145. "On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. Others shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, but I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth of your fame throughout." They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness, and they shall sing aloud of your righteousness. Mary's praise is about the Lord's activity. And you know, we tend to think of the mighty as the mighty for all time. And we tend to think of the weak as always being weak without hope or future. However, Mary knows the stories, the flow of the Lord's faithfulness. She knows of the casting down of Pharaoh and the lifting up of Phinehas. She knows of the overthrow of Sihon and Og and the falls of Nahash and Haman and Nebuchadnezzar. She knows about the once empty wombs and childless rooms for Sarah and Hannah, Ruth and Naomi, and most recently, Elizabeth. Mary's praise is about the Lord's activity, an astonishing activity. Our own story, we see very little from the place where we are sitting on our path, and there's very little we can do about it. But what does Mary do here? She interprets all events, her present events, in the light of God's sovereign power. Nothing will thwart the Lord's purpose. So Mary's praise is about another. Mary's praise is about the Lord's activity. And third, What else can we see by looking at Mary's praise? Is Mary's praise is larger than Mary. She speaks of the people and the people of the Lord and the promises of the Lord. Take a look at verse 54. He has given help to his people, to Israel, his servant. This is because the Lord does not forget. He has remembered his mercy. The Lord keeps his word, verse 55, just as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. Mary's praise is not about just me. Mary's praise is not about just the here and now. So not just me. Mary knows that the Lord has chosen a people, not a person. Mary's praise is not marked by some kind of Mary-ocentric universe. Mary's praise is larger than Mary, but it's also not about just now. Mary rightly sees herself within the current of the Lord's plan, within the flow of his faithfulness. So, very simply, precisely, and succinctly, looking at Mary's praise, we see that her praise is about another. Her praise is about the Lord's activity, and her praise is larger than herself. So now, what can we learn from Mary's praise? What can we learn? Well, first of all, I think we can learn that Mary's praise is a rebuke to my, perhaps our, praising. Mary's praise is a rebuke to much of our praising. All too often we praise ourselves. Instead, Mary praises another. Now, there is a line in our day and age that you can find in an animated movie. You find it on podcasts. You find it in movies that are not animated, but maybe they should be. And it's this line. You just need to believe in yourself, and you're going to do just fine if you just believe in yourself. Mary's praise, right out of the blocks, teaches us that this is all about another. Mary does not believe in herself. Now, recently I was reading one of G.K. Chesterton's books, and what he writes in this book in the early 1900s could have been written this week. It could have been written for our times. And I'm going to refer to a portion of what I was recently reading right now. And for this to make sense, know this. Chesterton is going to refer to a place in London called Hanwell. Hanwell is known as the Hanwell Insane Asylum or the Hanwell Pauper and Lunatic Asylum. It's related today to the St. Bernard's hospitals in London. So he's going to refer to that. Now, for those of you like me who grew up on a diet of Batman, referring to Gotham City, you'd think of Arkham Asylum. So just anyway, on you go. Here's the story that Chesterton relates. Once I remember walking with a prosperous publisher. And this publisher made a remark which I had often heard before. It is indeed almost a motto of the modern world. The publisher said of someone, "That man will get on. He believes in himself." And I remember that as I lifted my head to listen to my prosperous publisher friend, my eye caught an omnibus on which was written Hanwell, or Arkham. I said to him, "Shall I tell you where the men are who believe most in themselves? For I can tell you, I know of men who believe in themselves more colossally than Napoleon or Caesar. I know where flames the fixed star of certainty and success. I can guide you to the thrones of the supermen." The men who most really believe in themselves, Chesterton said, are all in lunatic asylums. You can take that up with Chesterton. The reality is we live in a day where people are regularly being told, you know what, just believe in yourself. Most of your ills will be cured if you'll simply believe in yourself. Focus upon you. Now, this is not to say that I deny the reality of very real ills. The fall was pervasive. I get that. But what many people miss is that when we look at biblical praise, and particularly here Mary's praise, we are instructed that our gaze should be first fixed upon another. Let us learn from Mary's praise. She praises first another. That will provide health, healing, and strength. What else can we learn? Well, all too often, we, perhaps, are fixated upon our own accomplishments, our own recognition. How many hits, how many likes, how many followers? Who has checked in? How many people have checked in? What are the enrollment numbers of the school of me? Instead, Mary looks for what the Lord has done. It's not so much, what have I accomplished? Take a look, take a look, take a look. Let's take a look at the Lord. Look at what the Lord has done. He has given mercy to generation after generation to those who fear Him. It's not just that I'm rebuked by this praise. I'm instructed by this praise. And finally, what else can we learn? Corresponding to the three things that we noticed from Mary's praise, one final point. All too often, sinful praise is of that which immediately concerns me. Yet Mary is aware of others, a historic and global awareness. The Lord didn't just choose a person, He chose a people with whom I am connected. Mary's praise is about the cosmic and global Christ-claimed we. And it's important to be reminded of this. Not many days hence, an angel will show up to lowly shepherds working the night shift. And the shepherds are going to break incredible news to these shepherds. And this is what the angel's going to say. Don't be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. I'm telling you, but this is for all the people. So let us allow the scriptures to be open before us and allow them to instruct us. For Mary's praise is about another. Mary's praise is about the Lord's activity, and Mary's praise includes a much larger scope than just Mary. Our Lord is very kind, and therefore I offer this to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and Amen.